Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pathetic with a capital P.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locker and John Lopez. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, you know why we're here. I don't need to summarize what happened. You know what happened, so I'm not going to sit here and take you through that emotional roller coaster we went through yesterday. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It is a reaction Monday. Texans wet the bed, 24-0. I was making my plans for the AFC Championship. I was anticipating a potential Super Bowl, and then it all came tumbling down in the worst type of way. John Lopez, just right off the top. What are your biggest thoughts on the collapse yesterday that took place in Kansas City?
You know what my biggest takeaway is? I can't settle down. Usually, the next day you try to be a little more measured. I always like to talk about how, you know, you have that sweep. I like to look at things and give that sweeping opinion. What does it all mean? What is it, you know, what was the big story of the game here? For me, my big takeaway is I can't believe that we're still here. I can't believe, more than anything, God, you're going to make me go on a rant right out of the chute, aren't
better?
You?
I mean, you better, John.
I mean, you're going to make
if
me
you
go
on... can't go on a rant after that,
right.
Then you might as well retire and go fishing for the rest of your life,
here's
John.
Here's the reason I'm going to go on a rant right out of the chute. I don't feel like enough people are. I don't feel like enough people realize how freaking bad it is at NRG Stadium with Bill O'Brien as head coach. I feel like, you know, I was kidding. I was texting with Sean before the game, Sean Pendergast. And I was telling him, because I was doing that pregame show with Murph and Trapp. By the way, those guys were awesome. But anyway, and I just told him, I said, I'm going to say what I always say about the Aggies. Just once before I die. Just once. That's not greedy, is it? Just once.
I mean, you're not even sitting here talking about winning a Super Bowl or anything, and this is the reality. I'm hearing this narrative, and I'm driving in, and I'm hearing like this, like, oh, shucks. Maybe we'll have to wait another year to go to the AFC Championship. Mm-hmm. And I hear Deshaun Watson go up to the podium and say, this organization's new. This organization isn't new anymore. It's pushing 20 years. And as far as this, like, going to the AFC Championship for the first time, we're trained, we're conditioned to sit here and act like that's some sort of massive accomplishment. Since Bill O'Brien's been coach for 6 years, every other team in this division has been to the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sitting here talking about Super Bowls. We're talking about going to an AFC Championship. And when you get spotted a 24-0 lead, and then you completely wet the bed, the offense disappears, the defense struggles, you make probably the dumbest decision I've ever seen to fake punt after you decided to kick the field goal on 4th-and-1, it's ridiculous. And sitting here and acting like it's like some sort of thing where I'm supposed to be patient for the team that I want to do well, like the Houston Texans, to go to an AFC Championship, to sit here and act like that takes time, that takes patience, it doesn't, because all three teams in the division, not named the Houston Texans, have been to the AFC Championship in the last 6 years. And oh, by the way, two out of three have been there. Two teams in the last 3 years have been there as well.
And your coach is the longest tenured. You're talking about from 2014.
I'm talking about since Bill O'Brien became head coach of the Houston Texans. The Colts went in 2014. The Jags went in 2017. And Mike Vrabel in his second year has gone in 2019.
And
I'm supposed
longest,
to sit here and trust the process.
And you're the longest tenured head coach. But that's my take. People are – it's like the city of Houston. And I know there's some exceptions. But just the vibe I'm getting, listening to the radio, reading online and some takeaways – from within the city, outside the city, you're seeing people oftentimes, and I know Solomon and Brian T. Smith have called for it as well. But I'm just saying, like, it's like we've been conditioned to just sit there and take it. We're like that poor guy in prison that always
You're going here.
No, not that. That always has to get beat up. The poor guy in prison always gets beats up. You don't have a choice in the matter. You just got to get beat up. You're just going to get beat up. You're going to take it. You're going to sit there and take it. And I'm telling you, just once before I die. And here's the other point. I know Bill O'Brien is going to be a topic from now until he's not the next, until he's not the Texans head coach. And Lord only knows when that is. Two things with him. And we're going to get to the details of the game. But this whole post-game, I feel like we're moving in the right direction. A circle? Because you're right back where you were your first year. The only difference between Bill O'Brien his first year and going into his seventh year is he's got worlds more talent. They're the same team, the same mistakes, the same results, but he's got a lot more talent. What does that tell you? It tells you you can't get there from here with Bill O'Brien. You want my other big takeaway?
Give me everything.
That's it.
Lay it on the table.
City of Houston, loopholes, listeners, you cannot get there with Bill O'Brien. That's been determined. You've tried. You've tried for 6 years. You've brought in a franchise quarterback that everybody recognizes as a franchise quarterback. You can't get there with him. You cannot do it. This is the ceiling. Divisional round, disappointing, choke, exit. This is the ceiling with Bill O'Brien. You can't get there from here.
So I was in Vegas. Everything was going perfect. I mean, there were Texans fans showing out there. Everything was going great. I'm not going to summarize my Vegas trip for you, but I say all that to say this. As I land yesterday at about 12:30, or this morning at 12:30, mm-hmm. I'm driving back, and I'm listening to Carrington Harrison, who does radio at 610 in Kansas City, and he describes Bill O'Brien. And I think this is the best analogy I've heard in regards to Bill O'Brien. He's the Alex Smith of coaches. He is the Alex Smith of coaches. Most teams, they wouldn't mind having an Alex Smith, mm-hmm. but your ceiling is only so high when you have Alex right. Smith. Bill O'Brien is the Alex Smith of coaches. And when it comes to the playoffs, we can sit here and we can say, what's wrong with the Texans? We can talk about their flaws and we can talk about their weaknesses. But you know what? The teams that advance, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went to an AFC title with Blake Bortles, like the Tennessee Titans, who've adjusted their entire game plan to make Ryan Tannehill comfortable. He's not even throwing for barely 150 yards a game, and they're still winning games. You adjust to your strengths and your weaknesses. And with Bill O'Brien, it does not matter if you get spotted 24 points. It doesn't matter if you block a punt. It doesn't matter if you get a short 6-yard field. Once you take that 24-0 lead, Bill O'Brien and his coaching shortcomings are going to be highlighted. It does not take somebody from Houston to realize what Bill O'Brien did wrong yesterday. Yeah. First of all, you decided not to be aggressive on 4th-and-1. I was okay with that at the time, but I didn't know that you were going to then fake a punt when you're up 24-7 deep in your own territory. It was one of the worst displays I've seen in a long, long time. And oh, by the way, we can talk about the defense, and we can say the defense stinks. They don't have much talent on that defense. All of the assets have been dedicated to the offense, and the offense, regardless of how they started, they were not ready for a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was the only way they were going to win that game. They were not ready. They had that first drive, and then after that, it was a lot of breaks.
Your offense wasn't even that good.
Your offense was not ready to have a shootout, regardless.
You got a 4-yard field. But we'll get to the details of the game itself. I want to just continue with one more thing, kind of the sweeping look of what the story is, what people really should be talking about, not what nobody's talking about, what everyone should be talking about. And that is, this is it. This is as good as it gets with Bill O'Brien. And I don't feel like the city of Houston should be conditioned to just sit there and take it. Teams are passing you, all right? In your division, teams are passing you. You're making the same mistakes going into year 7 that you made in year 1. No different. Yesterday was a perfect example of all the boneheaded blunders that a coach in his 6th year should not be making that you're still making. Your quarterback is telling you when to call a timeout because you choked
that
in the fourth quarter.
We're going to get into that.
We're going to get into that.
All the things, that fourth quarter was very discouraging.
And you're bragging about division titles.
And let me put that in perspective here. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on Reaction Monday. Division titles are great. That's cool. And I'm sure Bill O'Brien will go up there today at 12:30 when you hear from him, and he'll say, you know, we've won the division 2 straight years. Well, you know what else has happened in that 2 straight years? a team in your division has gone further than you. And you know what else those two teams had? They had coaches who were less experienced than Bill O'Brien. Last year, Frank Reich in his first year, he injures season. He advances to the playoffs. And this year, Mike Vrabel, he goes to New England and gets the win, which, by the way, Bill O'Brien got a game ball for winning in the regular season. Mike Vrabel goes on the road there and goes ahead and wins. So congratulations. Hopefully that game ball's on the mantle and you can put it right next to that fake-ass division banner if you wish. Then they go beat the Baltimore Ravens on the road, and Mike Vrabel goes up to the podium with that swagger. Bill O'Brien then has an opportunity. The people of Houston go to sleep knowing that they have a chance to host the AFC Championship, and you go up 24 points, and for the second straight year with your second straight division title, a team with a coach that has coached less than you, with less talent, by the way. Let's just put it that way. The Tennessee Titans are not as talented as the Houston Texans.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
They are not. But they are in the AFC Championship, and you're sitting at home telling me that things are heading in the right direction, despite the fact it's very obvious to the OG. It's obvious
you're
to
me.
You're
in a circle.
It's obvious to anybody.
If that's the direction you want, it's
this is not going the right direction.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. And the other thing is, you know, it would be nice to know what somebody above him thinks about all this. I mean, are you going
to
make him?
Do you need to hear it?
Are you going
to
make him part owner now?
Do you really need to hear it? It's obvious what they
because he's won four division titles in 6 years, and he's gone from head coach to head coach and offensive coordinator to head coach and offensive coordinator and general manager. I mean, is he going to get a stake in the team now? I mean, I'm serious. What's going on over there? Now, why are they complacent and happy with what they're doing? And people can say, oh, they're not happy with it. If they're not happy with it, they would show it, you know?
Brian Gain got fired after an 11-5 season, John.
Yes.
Brian Gain got fired after an 11-5 season. Yeah. He was gone. And they gave the keys to Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien went all in. Like, you can sit here and talk about the future. You know who feels good about their future? The Jaguars. They picked up two first-round picks this year. They got a young quarterback, the Colts. They got all this cap space. They got all this draft equity. Texans went all in this year. Andrew Luck retired before the start of the season. The Tennessee Titans had to bench their quarterback. And they're in the AFC Championship, and you're not. So, I mean, how many breaks can you get at this point? And with the way things went down, look, the result's not really what bothers me, John. The Kansas City Chiefs are a damn good team. That offense is unstoppable. I don't know how the hell you stop the Kansas City Chiefs. And props to Chiefs Kingdom, props to the Honey Badger, props to Pat Mahomes, props to everybody out there. Travis Kelce, by the way, my goodness, have a day.
We'll get to that.
Credit to y'all. It's not the result. It's the way it went down, and it's the stuff that's happening around this division that makes you frustrated. When you get off to a 24-0 lead like that, and it's not even a game in the second half, that's what's frustrating. I wasn't going to sit here, John, and sit here and rant if they had just lost to the Chiefs, but it's the way in which you lost to the Chiefs. And from a coaching perspective, the guy on those sidelines who we've been told to trust in B.O.B. B.O.B.'s got this. B.O.B.'s the GM. He's going to call the offense. The offense is going to probably take a little bit of a step back this year despite investing all that. But just trust in B.O.B. and trust in B.O.B. And he goes out there. He looks incompetent on the biggest stage, John.
Right.
I'm sick to my stomach
with
what
we
saw.
And you should not be complacent and just take that whipping and saying, oh, well, because that's what seems to be the case with Texans fans. Just once, man. Just once. I'm not greedy. You know, what am I going to be doing this?
I mean, you want the feeling that the three of the four teams in the division have had in 6 years. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you wanted.
That's it.
And it was right there.
Yeah.
It was the perfect storm. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. We'll hear from B.O.B. at 12:30 on Reaction Monday. John McClain's going to join us tomorrow. Be interesting to see what he's got to say. But we'll keep it going. We'll keep your calls coming. 713-572-4610. The OG says the most revealing decision that Bill O'Brien made yesterday is not the one you think. We'll tell you what it is as Reaction Monday continues next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I feel like we're in the right, we're moving in the right direction. I think we did a lot of good things this year. Not enough, obviously. Feel good about, where we're headed.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
You feel they're heading in the right direction. My question would be simple, and this is something that John Lopez asks all the time. Based on what?
Based on what?
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday. So every team in the AFC South besides the Texans has been to the AFC Championship since Bill O'Brien's been head coach. He says they're heading in the right direction. I want you to answer, John, based on what?
I don't know. If they're headed in the if the direction they want to go in is a full circle, then they are headed in the right direction, because they're right back where they started with Bill O'Brien, as I mentioned in the last segment. Except they have a lot more talent. They got a lot more talent, but they're the same team. He's making the same mistakes, ridiculous mistakes. I mean, ridiculous to be in an AFC divisional game and make the decisions he had. And we're going to get to him in just a second. Is inexcusable, but. Okay, so based on the fact that you've won a bunch of division titles, you know, the Titans didn't win a division title this year, and they're beyond where you were. The Colts did not win a division title last year, and they went beyond where you went. That's not, if that's your goal, then yeah, I guess you are headed in the right direction. The problem is that's your goal. I mean, it's crazy.
713-572-4610. Texans fall to the Chiefs yesterday, 51-31. Chiefs become the first team to win a playoff game by 20 points after trailing by 20. So at least there was some history made yesterday. Let's go out to the line. Let's go to Loophole Sean. Sean, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hi there. Hey, I really love what you guys are saying today. I've been saying it all year. I'm finally hearing it, and it's just great. I think Bill should have been gone 6 games ago. I think the kicker should have been gone 6 games ago. And I don't think any of these mistakes would be actually being made, so I just like actually hearing it. I don't like hearing what Deshaun said on the news yesterday about how much he loves him. I mean, what is he doing?
And he's talking about Deshaun Watson coming out in favor of B.O.B. How many players have actually come out and said this coach sucks? Like, of course, Deshaun Watson, he basically said he's going to play hard for Bill O'Brien as long as he's quarterback. I think Deshaun Watson would play hard for anybody. So that's neither here nor there. As soon as you start letting quarterbacks pick coaches, you end up having Freddie Kitchens go to the Cleveland Browns because Baker Mayfield wanted
right.
it. Like, you don't let the quarterback pick the coach. I don't expect Deshaun Watson to say any different. Quite honestly,
I wouldn't expect Deshaun to do anything but what he did. No quarterback especially, and I'm sure he does have, you know, a certain amount of affection and respect for Bill O'Brien. You know, I want to make this clear, as upset as I get with this head coach, and as much as I know, I know that this is the ceiling with him. You're not going to get any more than this.
At some point, you've got to accept it. I mean, that's just what it is.
My problem is that people accept it. You should not have to accept this. You should just go ahead and find a way to get to the next level. If not now, soon. But as much as he's not a total incompetent. You know, he's awful at certain things, and he's not going to get you any higher than where you are right now. So I would expect that Deshaun Watson would like the man, you know, and respect what he is as a football guy. But he's not going. The problem is that this is what you're content with, and that's a. That's ridiculous. That's mediocrity.
It's not even mediocrity. Like it's below mediocrity. I mean, it just again, John, I'm going to keep saying this. Every team in the division has been to the AFC title since Bill O'Brien's been coach.
Yeah.
Every team.
Yeah.
3 out of 4, John.
No,
3 out of 4.
The fourth one is your guy.
3 out of 4 have been there. They've been there. So it's right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like we're setting these unrealistic expectations. We're not sitting here saying the Texans should have a dynasty. We're saying if Jacksonville can go and if the Titans can go, why can't you? Because all these coaches that have been there, one of them got fired in Chuck Pagano.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Marrone has been coaching less than you. And Mike Vrabel's in his second year. And oh, by the way, he already has as many playoff wins as you. So what exactly are we trying to do over there? We heard good to great. We heard next step. That's what we heard when Brian Gain was fired. That was what we heard. That was the pitch. We heard it on Texans radio.
Yeah.
We heard about trying to go from good to great, take the next step. The bottom line is this. They didn't take that next step this year. They didn't take that next step. They basically tread water. The offense was the exact same amount of yards, exact same amount of passing yards, one less rushing yard, less points despite playing better defenses last year, and you invested all that there. So you didn't really take that next step. So based on that and based on what the organization told us, this season was a failure.
And not only did you not take the next step, you don't have a first or a third round draft pick this draft, and don't have a first round draft pick next draft because you pushed all your chips in. You pushed all your chips in, you know, for this year. This was going to be the year that you proved, you know what, we're going to get there. We're going to make the big move. And then your coach got in the way. I mean, let's just be clear about this. You're up 24-0 in large part for good play and fate. You know, a guy dropped the ball on the 4-yard line.
Chiefs were dropping the ball all over the place. They were helping
you
out.
Blocked a kick from Barcavius by Marcavius Mingo that turned into a touchdown. So that's 14 points right there, right? So from that point on, you score 7 points with this quarterback guru. You know, you score 7 points the rest of the way with him, and you get outscored 51-7. You can talk about the defense, and that's fair. The defense was obliterated. But the thing is, in the key moments of the game, in the very key moments of the game, your head coach tripped over himself and choked.
And that's all I was thinking the whole time. As soon as Kansas City started coming back, I just thought, you know what, we're going to have a shootout. But you know what? I trust in Deshaun Watson. I think this offense is going to move the ball. We're going to have a shootout. That's what I thought. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Terrible.
Hey.
What kind of question is that, Alan? What are you asking?
Anyway, I just wanted to let y'all know, John, I feel exactly like you. I'm an Aggie fan. Just once in my lifetime, will it can just get to an AFC championship game would be, you know, great. What happens there is it. But I'm sorry, but Bill O'Brien needs to go. He should have went at halftime yesterday. I could actually make that decision to go for it with 4th-and-1 with Deshaun Watson, where the guy can tell you, sit up there in a news conference and tell you, I don't have a play. You're 18 games into a season, and you don't have a play with Deshaun Watson? Come on, man. And for 4th-and-3.
Okay, let's go there.
4th-and-1 on the 14-yard line. Texans up 21-0. 4th-and-1 on the 14-yard line. You automatically assume that the Texans are going to go for it. However, the clock catches up to B.O.B., and next thing you know, they're kicking a field goal to go up 24-0 instead of going for it on 4th-and-1. This is Bill O'Brien talking about why he made that decision. Why is it that when you have all this momentum, why is it that you decided to kick the field goal on 4th-and-1 from the 14 instead of going for the kill?
Yeah, I felt like I had a first down there, and when I didn't, I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time. So I felt like it was better to kick the three, but that's, you know, very fair question. But I felt like
Just stop it now.
Come on.
You didn't have a play. You've got Deshaun Watson.
It's 4th-and-1.
It's 4th-and-1, and you've got Deshaun Watson. Call the play where Deshaun gets kicked in the eye and still converts. Call the play where two guys, because your offensive line, you spent all these draft picks on, can't protect his ass, and he gets smashed by two Buffalo Bills, but still scores a touchdown. Call the play where he runs 20 yards to the right behind Cullen Gillespie, and then wills his way into the end zone.
How about this, John? How about this? Call the play where on 4th-and-1, with their best defensive lineman out of the game, you run the ball right up the gut and you get the first down.
Look, here's the thing.
I had no problem with kicking the field goal, but what happened after that completely eliminated me forgiving him for that decision.
Here's the thing. We didn't feel like we have a play in that situation. 4th-and-1 on what was the yard line?
14.
The 14. All right.
You don't need to be calling plays if you don't have a play there.
Two things. That's on you. If you're this quarterback guru, this offensive genius, you think Andy Reid didn't have a play? You know, for a 4th-and-1?
4th-and-1?
For a 4th-and-1?
John, we're talking about 4th-and-1.
And then the second one, even if you're that bad, that you don't have a 4th-and-1 special play for any look that they might throw at you, which any competent head coach would tell you that he has to have. I mean, has to have. You've got, you know, in fact, they call them that. You hear them talking about, that's a gotta-have play. That's a gotta-have yard. If every competent coach says they have a play for that. Even if you don't.
Bro, it's 4th-and-1.
No, even if you
John,
don't.
It's 4th-and-1.
Even if you don't, Landry, call this play. Guys.
It's 4th-and-1.
Even if you don't, call this play. Guys, snap the ball to Deshaun. That's the play call. What are we going to do, coach? Just freaking snap the ball to Deshaun.
I mean, it is 4th-and-1.
Right?
And you're sitting there, John.
Pass or run. I don't know, pick. Either one.
You take the points at 24. Okay, so that's your mindset. You're just going to take the points. That's okay. All right, coach, I forgive you for it. I don't deal in hindsight. I'm fine with that. 24-0, that's fine, okay? The Chiefs answer quickly. They score. It's 24-7. Okay, we got to weather the storm a little bit here. It's 4th down, inside your own territory. It's all right. It's 24-7. It's okay. You're probably going to have to get a couple stops. You don't want to make it easy on the Chiefs.
Right.
So you just gave this punter an extension. You talk about how badass this punter is. So let's let him punt it to the Kansas City Chiefs after you just settled for 3 points. And let's just keep this momentum going or try to weather this storm, because all of a sudden it's getting loud there. And we don't want to give the Chiefs fans any other reason to get loud. So let's just punt it. You've already accepted the points. Let's just go ahead and
punt on fourth down. Here you go, coach. Let's punt it.
Here's Brian Anger at the Houston 17-yard line. Weeks will snap it. Justin Reed calling signals on punt team. On fourth down and four, and it's a fake. Reed running to the right side, and Reed's going to be short at the 34-yard line.
Come on.
He doesn't make it.
Come on now.
That was the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time. So you're trying to be aggressive with a fake punt with Justin Reed, but on fourth and one with Carlos Hyde, who rushed for 1,000 yards, with Deshaun Watson, with all the momentum you had before that, you decided to kick the field goal? Bill O'Brien, explain yourself. Tell me what your mindset was there when you decided to fake that punt. Please tell me, coach.
I definitely thought that we were going to have to score more than 24. Yeah, I did. I think that they're very obviously.
You
very...
thought you were going to have to score more than 24? Then why is it that when you have this offense with this offensive line that you've invested in with Deshaun Watson and with Carlos Hyde, if you thought you were going to have to score 24 points, more than 24 points, which is more realistic? Going forward on fourth and one at the 14-yard line? Or faking a punt with Justin Reed inside your own territory.
And if you thought,
come on, coach.
Okay, well, here's the other problem.
Come on, man.
And we still haven't even gotten to the play that I think is the most revealing about how boneheaded Bill O'Brien was in this. We will in the next segment, right out of the shoot,
this
I promise.
This was where I walked out of. I stopped watching the game after what
but
you're
just
about to
on,
say.
But just on what you just said right there, I mean, it's one or the other. Either you need to, you know, to score the points. Or you don't.
Which are you hanging your hat on?
Right.
What is the strength of your football team?
Right.
The Tennessee Titans have won three straight games with Derrick Henry rushing for 180 yards. Okay? That's never happened. They're playing to their strength. If I told you, John Lopez, you need to win a game in Kansas City, what is the strength? Fourth and one with Deshaun Watson and Carlos Hyde
or
in the backfield.
A fake
or
punt.
A fake punt inside your own territory.
Exactly.
Play to your strength,
and
coach.
And that's still not the worst decision he made.
It was not. We'll tell you what the worst decision was, and we'll talk about why this sucks so bad. Because not only did you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, everything lined up perfectly, and we should have seen it coming. That's next.
Here's Brian Anger at the Houston 17-yard line. Weeks will snap it. Justin Reed calling signals on punt team. On fourth down and four, and it's a fake. Reed running to the right side, and Reed's going to be short at the 34-yard line. He doesn't make it.
All right, so you faked a punt. You settled for 3 points, and then you faked a punt, coach. Again, I don't even know why I'm playing this because it borderline gives me a heart attack. Bill O'Brien decides on fourth and one from the 14, you decide to kick a field goal. I was fine with it, but I didn't know you're going to be faking punts afterwards. Explain yourself once again, coach.
I definitely thought that we were going to have to score more than 24. Yeah, I did. I think that they're very explosive team.
I don't need to hear anything else, okay? Look, man, what is your bread and butter? What do you hang your hat on if you're the Houston Texans? Before the game, as Texans fans, as media types, what is the strength of the Texans? The offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
The offense. So fourth and one, when you're up 24, if you realized and if your mindset was, we got to outscore them, fourth and one is probably ideal. I want to say they converted on over half their fourth and one plays. But you kick a field goal, and then you run a fake punt with Justin Reed. That line of thinking, that logic, what you just tried to sell me, coach, doesn't make a lot of sense. And quite honestly, it's very disappointing that you weren't ready for a shootout either. You were not ready for a shootout. You were not ready. You scored 7 points after that 24-0 lead. You scored 7 points. And you know what? It doesn't take a genius to know when the game went wrong. People were watching that game. As soon as they faked that punt, you knew that the momentum had shifted, and you knew that
you could
things
hear the
weren't
crowd
going very
on that,
well.
On that cut.
And you knew that the coach was not ready to go. He just wasn't ready to go. And as bad as the performance was by Bill O'Brien yesterday from a coaching standpoint, as bad as it was the decisions he made and that fake punt, which John McClain said might be the dumbest thing he's seen in his entire career. He's going to join us in 24 hours. As bad as that was, that display at the podium was even worse. And you want some salt in the wounds? You want to just twist the salt in there? Because we're sitting here conditioned to think that, you know, getting to the AFC Championship is some sort of monumental thing, and it's hard to do, and you just got to sit there and all shuck it for the rest of our time. Well,
The 6 years Bill O'Brien's been here, every other team in the division's been to the AFC Championship. You know, the Tennessee Titans, that team that used to be the Oilers, Mike Vrabel has taken them to the AFC Championship. It took 2 years. And you know what else took 2 years? Mike Vrabel has as many playoff wins as Bill O'Brien does in his career.
You know, he
has as many
all stat guys.
Well, there's a stat for you. He has as many playoff wins as you do. And oh, by the way, Mike Vrabel, he won both those playoff games on the road. You know what Bill O'Brien's never done? He's never won a playoff game on the road. It's never happened.
He's
he beat the Raiders
wins.
With a third-string quarterback, and then he beat the Bills when Deshaun saved his butt.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, John. It's disgusting, and what makes it even worse is it was perfectly aligned. Before we get into that, though, the most troubling thing you saw yesterday, we know about the fourth and one. We know about the fake field goal. The most troubling thing you saw was when there was still no hope for the Houston Texans, incompetence was front and center.
You say there was no hope for the Texans, and I think most of us would have agreed, yeah, they're not going to win this game. But there was still that other chance. If they just came at, and by the way, you became the first team to be up by 20 points and go into the half trailing in one half. That's incredible. Two of the worst choke jobs. I feel like the 1993 Buffalo choke job in Houston was more everyone choked, whereas the 2020 choke job in Kansas City was on the head coach based on that call that you talked about, the fourth and one where he went for a field goal, allegedly believing that he needed to score touchdowns but still went for a field goal. Certainly the fake punt. But there are certain decisions that a head coach makes where you realize, and this was the decision that made me realize, this guy's in over his head when it comes to game management and big in-the-moment decisions.
He's in over his head when it comes to overseeing an offense, too, let's be honest.
Well, you can argue that, though.
I don't need to argue that.
I know you don't. I'm saying you can argue that. And, again, I want to make very clear. I don't think I think Deshaun Watson likes him for a reason. He's a competent X's and O's coach. He's fine.
Is he?
I don't want fine, but he's fine, okay? But there are certain decisions that people make where I was just, I'm sure my jaw dropped, and I'm, like, thinking the whole time, this guy is incapable of making a big, in-the-moment, gotta-have decision. And that was when...
He's incapable of common sense.
And that was when this happened. So you're down 41-24.
You're down 17 with 12 minutes left.
Well, hold on. You're down 41-24 in the second half. You finally score a touchdown. All right, you're down 41-31. And it's not even the fourth quarter yet. And you're thinking, well, maybe. I know the you hadn't stopped the Chiefs. But at that moment, you're kind of thinking, well, then they answer right away and they go up 48-31. But the fourth quarter just starts, right? So
stranger things have happened.
Stranger things
happened. You're down 17.
You're down 17.
Three timeouts, 12 minutes left.
Well, you get the ball with just under 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter. All right? So, yeah, you're thinking stranger things have happened, but there is no more margin for error.
None.
You've got to go. It's a four-down game.
Maybe a little up-tempo.
Up-tempo.
Like, is there any way to not huddle? Or you got to huddle up?
I think you got to go up-tempo, and I think you got to go for it on fourth down every time the rest of the way.
Well, no duh.
You know, because you're down 17 with 13:52 left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So first down, you complete to Jordan Thomas, made an appearance for 7 yards. Second down and three, complete to DeAndre Hopkins. All right, so for 20 yards. So you're kind of like, all right, we're moving.
You're in Kansas City territory.
You're in Kansas City territory. You're on the 48. First and 10, a little pass to Carlos Hyde for 6 yards. Second and four, you know, incomplete to Hop. Third and four, incomplete to Stills. So you're like, all right, fourth and four.
Fourth and four. You got to score. You need three scores, right?
I'm thinking,
you're down 17 with 12 minutes left.
And I'm thinking fourth and four. Let's see what he dials up here. All right, let's see what he can dial up here. Kenny Stills kind of had a little bit of thing going on. Maybe he'll go to Stills. Maybe he'll come out of the backfield, whatever.
And send out the punt team.
I almost dropped an F-bomb right there. That would have been my first one.
The punt team.
That would have been my first one, but that's how shocked I was. I'm looking at the TV. And you see this perplexed look on Deshaun Watson's face as he starts to jog off the field. And I'm like, what the bleep is going on?
You're in Kansas City territory. And then, it's fourth and four.
And you're down 17.
And you're sending the punt team.
And at this point, there's 11:45 left in the game. Well, there is. You go for everything.
You score with about 9 minutes, two-possession game.
Yeah.
Maybe you just stop.
You go for it every time.
Fourth and four.
And Deshaun Watson went palms up like, dude.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
So Bill O'Brien had to call a timeout.
Burned a timeout.
He had to burn a timeout. And then he decided they was going to go for it on fourth and four. Again, Down 17, 12 minutes left. You're inside Chiefs territory, fourth and four. You send out the punt team.
If you
and he looked shocked. It almost looked like Deshaun Watson had to explain to him why this was so ridiculous. And this is a guy who faked a field goal and said that they had to be aggressive, but then in the same breath, kicked a field goal to settle for 3 points. He's lost, man.
I'm telling you, that's exactly what I was going to say. When you screw up that decision right there, forget the fourth and one on the field goal, forget the fake punt. When you screw up a basic decision like that, you are incapable of making a big decision in the moment, which every coach has to make if you're going to make a run in the postseason.
And if you look at the offense, they're huddling up. There's no hurry. There's no tempo. Like, am I supposed to believe Deshaun Watson can't do that?
Mm-hmm.
I saw him do it at Clemson. I see every team running up tempo. Like, I see almost every team in the NFL, but you're down 17. You're not running up tempo. And then on fourth and four, you send out the punt team, and your quarterback has to talk you in to go for it on fourth and four.
With 11, what the hell something happened? Left.
Let me, John, last time they played the Chiefs, just to show, there's no, like, normally when someone does stuff that drives you crazy, you can at least trace their line of thinking. There's no level, there's no consistency to the line of thinking with Bill O'Brien. Last time they faced the Chiefs, it was fourth and two at the 30. And instead of kicking the field goal, they went for it and they iced the game.
Right.
However, it's the complete opposite mindset that you have when you settle for the field goal when you're going for a potential 28-point lead instead of 24, and then you have all this stuff. It's maddening. It's frustrating. It's ridiculous. And what adds salt to the wounds, John, and I'm with you on how bad that looked.
That was the worst call he made. Now, it didn't affect the game the most.
The punt was the worst.
No, I'm saying it didn't affect the game the most. I think the punt did. And the field goal when you should have gone for it, but this was the worst. This was the most revealing.
Yeah, it was troubling.
The most revealing.
I mean, surprised.
This guy doesn't have
a clue. It's almost like he was surprised.
Yeah,
and he
burns the timeout.
Well, I mean, even then, like, let's think about it. Let's say that Deshaun Watson pulls off some magic. Let's say inside that 12 minutes on the fourth and four after the timeout, boom, Deshaun Watson goes out there, they score.
Yeah,
you're down a timeout now. And you're gonna need to overcome a two possession lead. You're down a timeout there,
mm-hmm.
So it's costly in every area. And it was complete incompetence, and it was a lost opportunity. And I don't want to say we saw this coming, but maybe we should have seen this coming because everything aligned perfectly for your Houston Texans. We threw out the possibility of this happening when we were live at Wolfie's on Lake Conroe as we were signing off. I threw this out there, John, and listen to your reaction. This is Friday again, before the Titans upset the Ravens. This is the possibility that we threw out that came to fruition yesterday.
What if the Titans win,
right,
and the Texans lose?
Oh.
Mike Vrabel goes on the road. He takes down the Baltimore Ravens. You go to sleep at night as a Texans fan, and you wake up realizing that if you win –
you're,
in Kansas City for the second time this year,
for a chance to go
you're
to the
hosting
Super Bowl.
An AFC championship, but the Texans lose to the Chiefs and the Titans win.
That would be the worst of all, right? That would be like one of the worst things you could ever imagine. Like, so you go to bed knowing we win tomorrow, we're playing at home for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and then you spit it up. And they're the former Oilers. It would just multiply times 100.
That's okay. The thing that I don't know if it necessarily affected the game. I think it could have helped the Texans with their focus, especially starting a game, and their energy. You knew you were going to play at home. You knew it. You didn't think it. You knew you were going to play at home if you won that game. And you still spit the bit because of the head coach.
John McClain was on with Clint Sterner and them out there at Wolfie's, and he threw it out as a possibility as well. So as I was driving home, getting ready for the weekend, John McClain threw it out there too.
Boy, if the Titans were to upset Baltimore, meaning the Texans have to win to host the AFC Championship game here for the first time in the history of pro football in Houston, and they won, they would come back as darlings of the NFL. It'd be the biggest thing since the Oilers came back from Pittsburgh in 1979. If they lose with that opportunity,
oh man,
it's going to be a bad
week. Come
on,
It is a bad week.
Well, Chief, it happened.
This is the other thing. This is what's frustrating with BOB too. Like, the problem that the Texans have had and the problem that we said they had was fixed. Like, we've talked about slow starts. Deshaun Watson
touchdown
led an
drive,
opening
man.
Drive. I told you that was going to happen, did I not?
Yep.
I told you
yep,
that was going to happen. And then they fixed their slow starts, and then all of a sudden, just that one decision, and it comes spiraling. And next thing you know, you get outscored 51-7
at the end of the game. 51-7, including 41 unanswered. So they fixed their problems, and then just because of coaching incompetence, a lack of a mindset, a lack of feel, now all of a sudden you lose. And the nightmare that we forecasted in regards to the Texans and the Texans potentially hosting the Titans and wetting the bed in Kansas City happened. And not only did it happen, you blew a 24-point lead.
I'm just still just – I shouldn't be. I'm just stunned by it, by the fact that your head coach – that you're going into year seven with a guy that you still don't have any confidence. In fact, you probably know he cannot make big decisions. He cannot make big decisions in the moment, in the game. And, oh, by the way, he's given himself – more responsibility and spread himself even thinner in that organization. I mean, it's mind blowing. This is the ceiling, guys. The Texans can't get any higher than this in this current situation. And if you say, well, how do you know that? I know that because this is every year. You know, he's bragging about division titles. He's talking about we're headed in the right direction when it's clear they're not. You know, I mean, you got the quarterback finally. You should be headed in the right direction. And you're still making the decision. By the way, one thing we also said Friday, first team to start settling for field goals loses.
Well, Texans did it when they were up 21-0.
And they lost.
And then they faked a punt.
Yeah.
713-572-4610. Reaction Monday continues with the OG, Landry Locker, and John Lopez. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on In the Loop.
Hey, what's up, guys? I've been a long-time listener, John, ever since I was even a freshman in high school. I'm 23 now, but
attaboy.
Listen to you every morning when I used to drive.
Driving as a freshman.
Go ahead, Dennis. Get to it, man.
So my question to you all was, you know, it kind of looks like, at least as a lifetime Texans fan, doesn't seem a bit like B.O.B. is going anywhere. It seems like he's kind of here to stay.
Yep.
So I just kind of wanted to see what moves you think that the front office could possibly make to improve our team, you know, maybe bring in another creative offensive mind, because I don't think O'Brien's going to go anywhere.
Well, okay, let's work with that.
I think that's great,
premise.
Dennis. I'm with you, Dennis. I'm with him. I think the reality is he's coming back. But he's asking then what do you do to make the most of the situation you're with, in which you have the only coach that hasn't been to the AFC Championship, or the leader of an organization that hasn't been in the championship since he came here when every other team has. How do you deal with that?
That's a great point he's just making there. Here's the answer. And I'll channel John.
I guess he's saying, what the hell is he supposed to do?
I'll channel John McClain here. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's a great question. It's a great point. If number one, we're operating under the premise that Bill O'Brien is not going anywhere. All right. Well, then what can you do to maybe make better decisions, to maybe have a better, more creative offense, to maybe advance Deshaun's game even higher? The answer is there's a lot, but it's not going to happen as long as he's in charge. He's got to have his hands in everything. He's got to be making every decision, personnel-wise, on the field, clock and game management, okay, et cetera, et cetera. And one more thing, Landry. John McClain tweeted yesterday, amid all this, you know, vitriol that is kind of hovering over the head coach of this team. Guys, he's not going to get fired.
Okay.
I'm sure John McClain is going to reiterate that. We'll ask him again tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to reiterate that tomorrow.
That's great. Then just give me when he joins us. Then you know what? Give me a damn time machine. You know what? And let me get in that time machine and go forward a year from now, and we can just do the same show. As a matter of fact, from now on, after the Texans season ends with Bill O'Brien, Figgy, just run on this, okay? Just run on this. Maybe we can make a few edits, but for the most part, this is going to be the same thing we're going to be saying all the time with this guy. We're going to be saying the same thing with B.O.B. At the very least, if he's going to be here, bring in an offensive coordinator. But you know the one thing I'm really tired of, John, and I'm sick of hearing this, and I know Jeremy Branham's going to come on the air and say this, and I've heard a lot of media types say this, and I am so GD tired of it. I almost cussed. I'm so effing sick of this. I'm sick of people saying that Bill O'Brien has too much on his plate, and that's why he's making the mistakes he's making.
Who's doing that?
There's a lot of people acting like, well, he just has too much responsibility, and that's why he's making the decision. When it's 4th and 4 inside Chiefs territory, and you're down 17 points, you should know what's going on. I don't care if you're the referee. I don't care if you're the coach. I don't care if you're doing everything. I don't care if you had to mow the grass before the game started. If you don't know that on 4th and 4, down 17, with 12 minutes left that you have to go for it, that has nothing to do with having too much responsibility.
Right.
If you decide to fake a punt after you just settled for a field goal, that's not because you're having to do so much other stuff. That's just incompetent, John. That's just incompetence. And I don't like seeing the head coach of the Houston Texans be incompetent. I don't like seeing all three teams in the division, not named the Houston Texans, going to the AFC Championship as long as he's coach. I don't like seeing the team that everybody was high on having their quarterback retire, and you still have all these opportunities, and a team that benched their quarterback almost midway through the season right. is going to the AFC Championship. I don't like it, but don't give me the excuse that he has too much on his plate.
All right,
don't
well, let
give
me
that.
You,
not when it comes to this kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, let me give you a glimpse of what McClain is going to say. And I'm not picking on John. I'm just saying this is the way it's going to
go. He'll be here in 24 hours, right. people.
Let me give you a glimpse of how it's going to happen. I'm going to say something along the lines of John. You don't think the Texans are going to fire Bill O'Brien? And he's going to say, that's right. And I'm going to say, why aren't they going to fire him? You know, why would they not consider firing him after 6 years of the same old thing? And he's going to say, they just won't. They just won't. I don't know. They just won't. Whether it's John McClain or you or me or whomever, that's a question that needs to be asked. You can't just say, well, they're just not. Why? Based on what? Division titles? They're not going to fire him because they like winning division titles?
All right, well, they've won the division title the last 2 years, and you've had a team in your division go further than you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So it's easy to say, oh, they just won't. Or it's easy to just acknowledge.
No, we got lied to.
Yeah.
Look, I understand this is the home of the Texans. I get it. But the reality is this, John. Honestly, like, we got lied to.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not going to be any change – and Bill O'Brien's going to still be able to call the offense, and there's not going to be any change. We just got lied to, which mm-hmm. is okay, because I don't mind when organizations lie to us. A lot of times I support lying with a purpose, but we got lied to because we were told that firing Brian Gain when they did was about taking the next step, and that's what they were trying to do,
yeah.
and it was going from good to great and all that type of stuff, and they were going to be aggressive. If what we just saw and the way that it went down happened as the Tennessee Titans, the old Oilers, advanced to the AFC Championship, the third team in the AFC South to do it in the last 6 years. Bill O'Brien was hired 6 years ago.
Yeah.
All three teams in the AFC South have done it. If that's the case and there's just not going to be any change, we were lied to. So we just need to adjust this mindset, because for about a few weeks when Brian Gain was fired, I didn't necessarily support the decision,
mm-hmm.
but I truly believed that just winning division titles and just being good was no longer good enough. I heard the most important people in that organization say that it's about taking the next step, and that's why we're doing
Loopholes,
it.
Loopholes, finish this sentence.
It's not the case if that's what's going
to
happen.
If
and it's
listen,
okay. I,
you
I'm
listen
okay
to the
with
show,
it. I'll adjust.
If you listen to the show, you know. Figgy, Landry, Loopholes, finish this sentence. Division titles are for
losers.
Losers brag about division titles.
Well, especially when other teams go further in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're important.
They get you into
the tournament.
Look,
but if you're bragging about division titles, you haven't done
anything.
Look,
it's fun. You got a quarterback that you can watch. You can ride and die with Deshaun Watson. The roller coaster is fun. Just enjoy it. But don't sit here and act like the good to great that we heard in the offseason is really a goal. Because if it was a goal, then when the offense is not much better this year than it was last with all the pieces, and the numbers don't lie, I'm not even going to say them again, when you basically do what you did last year after the Buffalo miracle, which Deshaun Watson provided you with,
mm-hmm.
and you pee down your leg against the Kansas City Chiefs, if nothing is going to change and it's just going to remain the same, then I must have misheard when they said good to great. I think it meant Bill the Great.
Right.
I think Bill O'Brien is the king. Bill O'Brien is the king. It wasn't good to great. It was Bill the Great.
Yeah.
So the next step, all that type of stuff, that's great, John. What am I waiting for, though? In the big scheme of things, what am I waiting for? Go to AFC title? That's great. Again, I'm going to say this 100 times. It's going to get old. I don't like saying it. Three teams in the AFC South have been to the AFC Championship since Bill O'Brien's been head coach. Let's just rank the talent. Tell me which team has the most talent, okay? That's how you should evaluate this situation. Good to great, it's just Bill to great. And we were lied to, and I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it, actually. I can adjust. I live in one of the best cities in the world. We got some of the best football fans here. I think the fans actually realize it, but we were lied to, and that's just the situation we're in. We'll hear from Bill the Great at 12:30, coming off the worst loss the Houston Texans have ever had in the postseason. But I want to ask this question because I don't. I want to play devil's advocate, John, and I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Is there any chance in hell, don't answer the question, ruin my tease like McClain would, that Bill O'Brien can recover from this game? And what are the other problems? Because it's easy to blame the head coach. What are the other problems the Houston Texans have? Reaction Monday continues next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.